With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered, the podcast made by the athlete for the fans. Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Well, hello, hello again, everyone. Welcome in to another episode of Athletes Unfiltered. This isn't just another press conference. It is Athletes Unfiltered. As always, I'm your host, Jeff Ekstrom, and along with me, as always as well, Adrian Martinez. Adrian, how's it going, my man?
It's going great. You know, really pumped up about the guy we're talking to today, and a lot going on in the sports world.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, man, it's been absolutely crazy. NFL, March Madness going on, and just everything surrounding that. The Oscars had an incident last night. But before we get to that, we just want to kind of tease the guest that we have coming up. He is one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and that is Eric Crouch for Nebraska, won a Heisman Trophy, and just has continued that into his business post-football. Just an awesome guy. It's going to be a great interview, and he was great, Adrian.
Absolutely. Something that I've always respected about him, and one of the first guys I learned about when I came to Nebraska, just his career, the impact he had on the state, on the team, and obviously winning Heisman Trophy. But he's incredibly humble. To this day, when I first met him, and even when I first signed in Nebraska, it's not an obligation for any former player to reach out to the next generation, the next, you know, Nebraska football player, but he made it a point to reach out to me, and I'll always be thankful for that. And I know he's still doing great things in the community with his business.
Yeah, it's a great conversation that reflects on his career and the things he's seen between today's game when he played. It's absolutely awesome. You won't want to miss it. That's coming up in just a little bit. But first, Adrian, I think we have to talk about the NFL. I mean, it's been absolutely insane in like on another, I mean, historical. I mean, just on another level on what's happening.
It is historical. I mean, I don't remember a time where there's been this much free agent movement. You know, it's just like a complete shuffle, you know, and you could just look at the quarterbacks and Russell Wilson to the Broncos, Carson Wentz to the Commanders, Washington Commanders. Matt Ryan, Colts. There's just so many big moves. Deshaun Watson to the Browns. I mean, there's a big and looks a little AFC dominated. You know, Devontae Adams to the Raiders. I think it'd be fun for us to name our top two free agent additions and what you're, you know, we're kind of looking forward to most. I'll let you go first, and I have a feeling I think I'm going to win this. I'm going to make it into a debate. And I'm going to win this.
Okay. All right. So I think for the first one for me, I think is got to be Tyreek Hill and going to Miami. I mean, that's an absurd addition. Now, again, there's question marks of the Dolphins and other parts of the team. But when you have Jaylen Waddle, who is a stud his rookie year, add in with Tyreek Hill and you just get Tyreek and Jaylen together and you point to the end zone, other side of the field and just sprint there. Just sprint there.
Yeah, they're probably going to have the fastest duo in the NFL between those two guys. Now, the big question is, how will they be used, and how will Tua do in his, you know, third year as quarterback there?
Yeah, in my apartment here, we have a couple of Tua haters, so this will we'll see how this turns out for him. I mean, obviously, now with the addition, it's kind of like Tua has to perform now. Because he has no excuses. He's got
he'll have plenty of weapons. Yeah. And their team, I believe they went 7-10 last year. Those lines, right?
Because they started 1-7, then they won like 7 or 8
they
straight.
Won 7-8 straight, something like that. I mean, they have a good enough team. at this point, talent-wise. It is a bit of a tough division and, in general, a really tough conference, the AFC. But by all means, it looks like they have the talent and the build, at least offensively, and they were a good defensive team last year, too, to make a little run at things.
Yeah, and now, of course, on the other side of that trade is the Chiefs. They signed Juju Smith-Schuster to kind of alleviate that hole, but that's, again, this whole Chiefs, not entirely so, but a whole part of this Chiefs offense was just the ability for Mahomes to scramble and get bailed out by Tyreek coming along with him and just doing whatever he wants to and get past defenders. So that is a whole dynamic.
It's fair to say that their offense and the way they ran it really ran through Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce as a duo. You know, how do we defend both? We can't play man coverage because we cannot cover Tyreek Hill. We do zone, some form of zone. Kelce's going to pick us apart and find our weaknesses. Obviously, Pat Mahomes is a big part of why that happens. Now, Kansas City, I really can't judge too much because they've done a great job of building that team. That organization is solid, and I think they've proven that. I know from some of the things I've heard and doing a little research that Kansas City typically doesn't pay these skill players once they're 30 years old. And right now, Tyreek Hill, he's not 30 yet, but he will be soon. He wanted a long-term contract. It looks like they have more faith in their system, and they don't think they need Tyreek Hill. I will say it's a deep receiver class. Maybe they pick up a guy there. I know they have a couple other speedsters, but Tyreek Hill is a little bit different. You know, you can't really compare him to anyone else. He has a different level of playmaking ability.
Yeah, it was a contrast of a football decision versus a business decision, and it was business that won out this time. So it sent shockwaves to the NFL, and I'm certainly excited once week one comes around. Adrian, how about your number one free agent signing?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Davante Adams. Now, that's not necessarily a free agent. I guess it sort of is because they traded him.
To move, yeah.
And he got a long-term deal. Like, that is the, okay, I'm fine with going here. You're going to give me a long-term deal. I have a little bit of, you know, personal history with this one. I grew up a huge fan of Fresno State. I'm from Fresno, California. And in sort of my prime football fan years, if you will, Davante Adams and Derek Carr were together at Fresno State. And they had a great year, broke records, so much fun to watch. And to see them reunited in Las Vegas really excites me. I think they could do great things. They have great chemistry. Now, you pair Davante Adams with Darren Waller, who is a top three tight end in the NFL, with Derek Carr, who I believe has been underrated as, at the minimum, he's above average league quarterback. I think if you go back 5 years, 4 years, he was in contention to be an MVP. So, given the right circumstances, I think that offense can be really deadly. Yes, it will be the toughest division in football, but I do believe the Raiders will shock some people because their offense will be really good.
Yeah, certainly. And man, that's only two of the biggest ones that we're talking about here. So for my number two, I'm going to the Chargers and I'm going Khalil Mack. They fleeced the Bears. Second and sixth round pick. And I know Mack is a little old, but you pair him off that edge with Joey Bosa. I mean,
dangerous. And in addition to that duo, I mean, if you look at the AFC West, the Raiders, Max Crosby, and they just signed Chandler Jones, I want to say.
Yeah.
The Broncos, they signed someone as well, and they have the Chuba guy. What's his gosh, gonna have to gosh, go back yeah. and look at that.
He's from NC State. Shoot.
Yeah, that we both know who we're talking about. Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't name him. But they have another edge rusher that's really talented. And then the Chiefs have a duo of their own, you know. So it's dangerous top down. Those, for being honest, right now the most valuable positions in football are the edge rushers and the quarterback.
And yeah, add Randy Gregory to the Broncos and Chuba, and then
that's Randy Gregory. Yeah, that's Randy Gregory. There you go. Yep, and Chubb. Yeah.
Bradley Chubb.
Bradley Chubb. There we go. We got it. Okay.
Dangerous. Now you're number two free agent signing, Adrian.
My number two. Bit of a controversial take, but strictly football assessment, Deshaun Watson is a top five quarterback in today's NFL. Mm-hmm. He has the ability to make plays with his feet. Incredible playmaking ability, right? Can dice you up if you want to keep him in the pocket. The guy has all the tools necessary to be an MVP in this league for the, you know, I'm not going to say every year, obviously, but he could be the best quarterback in the league. He has that type of talent, and he's actually shown it on a bad team in a bad organization. It didn't matter. He still did great things and carried that team. So put him on the Browns, who at this current moment are immensely talented, very talented team. But we just don't know how his legal situation is going to play out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, just given how our society works, how the NFL works, right? I mean, he is a very talented football player, so he will get that opportunity again. It's just a matter of, you know, when that's going to happen. Now, obviously, I'm not condoning those actions. Terrible things he's being accused of, and I don't know what the truth is, but if he gets to play football, he's going to do great things for the Browns. And he's the kind of guy who's a solid top five quarterback in the league, which is a very valuable thing. Now I don't know where the heck Baker Mayfield's going to go, but that was a crazy shakeup in and of itself.
Yeah. And then Browns also nabbing Amari Cooper from the Cowboys, who was a, Cooper was more of a cap casualty because they couldn't sign him to a long-term deal there. You got him at the receiver core, which is obviously in addition. Austin Hooper coming in as tight end. Now you talk about the
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I mean, those dudes are really good tandem. I mean, they have guys, a lot of guys to make a legit run, you know, when you plug into Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Just absolutely crazy NFL offseason that maybe gets even crazier in the next few weeks ahead. We never know. But along with that, as always in March Madness is going on right now. And Adrian, we're down to the final four. And as much as this year was about people saying all the upsets, St. Peter's going to the Elite Eight, it's the Blue Bloods that are into the Final Four in New Orleans this upcoming weekend. You have Duke and North Carolina going in one semifinal and then Villanova and Kansas in the other. While I think it will still be fun, kind of feels a little anticlimactic in how it all came together.
Yeah, and that's hard to argue. You know, we had so many upsets and some fun teams near the end, but it's the Blue Bloods. But in my opinion, I just don't think we've seen that as much of late. You know, maybe one or two, but to have four teams that are real traditional type teams, you know, three of those teams I hope do great. There's only one team I really don't care for at all, and, you know, hope they lose. I hope they lose badly. I'm sure we could all piece together my time in Nebraska or my time at K-State. There's only one school there that has some middle ground. So hopefully KU loses terribly. I think that's obvious. Villanova just wipes the floor with them. You know, I don't really care who wins after that. But I think they'll shape up to be some really good games. There's good storylines. Coach K, North Carolina, incredible rivalry. We'll see if he can go out on a high. You know, I think that's the biggest one, in my opinion, biggest storyline.
Yeah. I will objectively laugh very, very hard if North Carolina just wipes the floor and just ends Coach K's career right there.
It sounds like you want that.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of do, and I don't dislike Coach K or anything. It just would be objectively hilarious, especially with what happened during the regular season too in his last home game.
TBD. We'll find out.
We certainly will. Those games are on Saturday, and then on Monday is the national championship. But before that, we have a big guest today. He has a lot of big titles, and you might know from his time at Nebraska in the late 1990s, early 2000s, Heisman Trophy winner, and a holder of too many awards, too many school records that I can't even count. It's former Nebraska quarterback, Eric Crouch. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time, man, to hop on with us. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys getting me on, and I'm having a tough time with Adrian in that Kansas State uniform there with that. Just a little strange, but you know, I got it. I'll be all right.
Yeah. I have to rock the purple for a year. So yeah. Is what it is.
That's right.
And I guess just to start off by congratulating you, Eric, recently on getting inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. That happened back in December. I mean, yeah, quite an honor. I mean, that's a pretty good club to be a part of, I would imagine.
You know, I guess it's been 20 years, maybe exactly from when I was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. So, you know, I'm a different part of my life right now than I was when I was 23 years old. So it just hits me a little bit differently, but it's just always an honor, you know, to be given any award. I just hope that I'm representing the state and the University of Nebraska the best that I can, and the teammates, and all the, you know, former players, current players, coaches. It's just, you know, I look at the program as a whole, and that's really what I represent as the program of Nebraska.
Well, let's hope you can remember back when you had your playing days and whatnot. We want to talk to you about a little bit about that. First, obviously, you're a Nebraska kid through and through from the Omaha area, went to Miller North, played under the legendary Fred Pitino in the wingbone offense. Let's start right there. I mean, you go into Miller North and you go under Fred Pitino. And that's, I think, really when you took over as a running quarterback in running that wingbone offense. Do you think that's why you started off why you developed as a running quarterback, because of being under Fred?
Yeah, no, Coach Petito was a great coach to me, and he had a certain, you know, savviness about him that he really instilled a lot of confidence in his quarterbacks. And I think, number one, that's key. You got to really believe in yourself. That's not a position, you know, as you know, Adrian, it's just a position where you're in a leadership role. You know, I got a lot of weight on your shoulders, and, you know, confidence is key. And, you know, he built that for me. You know, he did a great job of, you know, just being so positive. You know, when you have coaches that are just always positive around you, and saying great things about you, and it just helps you to continue to get better every day and to really, you know, form, you know, a belief in yourself that no one can take away. And I do, you know, credit Fred Pitino for that.
Absolutely. That's half the battle right there.
Yeah.
Attend a Miller North game recently at all?
You know, I try to get to one game a year, maybe two. It just kind of depends. I don't think trying to think if I made one last season or not. You know, this last year has been a little bit of a blur for me, but you know, I support their staff.
Your son's at Elkhorn, right?
Yeah, Elkhorn South. My son Carson is a senior at Elkhorn South, but he's heading to Midland, play a little football. He's, you know, he was a kicker for Elkhorn South and played receiver. And I, you know, Coach Jamrog up at Midland's going to give Carson that chance to play both. So I think that's really what drew him to Midland. And Coach Jamrog, I really got a lot of respect for him. So I think it's going to be a good opportunity for Carson.
Yeah. And I mean, how is that seeing your son go through a different path than you did in terms of athletics, and what has changed your perspective about seeing your son do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you know, everybody's always comparing Carson to what I did in my career. So it's been probably a little bit of a challenge for him to, you know, put a little divider there, you know, because it's hard. You know, you've got these awards, you know, everybody's asking if he's as fast as his dad, is he going to be a Heisman Trophy winner? And that's just got to be, I can't put myself in those shoes other than knowing that would be a really tough position to be in. And I've always told him that, you know, he doesn't need to play football. He doesn't, I'd like him to play a sport. I think sports have a lot of value in life, a tremendous amount of value. And, He's always gravitated, you know, towards sports. Started off with soccer, and then he played basketball, and then football, and played a little bit of baseball. And so he ran track last year. And so, you know, he's an athlete. And I think, you know, more importantly, again, this confidence thing is important. He's got to believe that, you know, he's himself, and he's going to lead a different path in life. And it's not going to be the one I had. But he's got support from his mom and dad to do that. And it's not like I've ever wanted him to, you know, fill my shoes. You know, I want him to put on his own shoes and be his own person. And I think he's the first person that knows that, but not everybody else does, you know. And that's kind of the problem, is that he always gets these little comments, and it's just, hey man, you're gonna have those comments your whole life. You gotta deal with that. But he does a pretty good job. He does a real good job.
Mm. Yeah, and especially in Nebraska, I can only imagine that those type of things are constantly brought up. But the support from you guys, I'm sure, goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. You know, he's got good friends and good coaches and, you know, good people around him. So I think that's, you know, really, really key. I know I had that. So, you know, I didn't do this on my own. I mean, I had a lot of support from all those, you know, outside factors that were always, you know, positive and there when I needed them. Cause, you know, there are tough times and, you know, everybody goes through it. There's, you know, like I said, there's many times where I wondered if I was supposed to play the game of football, you know, and, you know, I thought that early on in my career at Nebraska, and, you know, even happened professionally. And it's just, you always kind of question, you know, if this is the right thing for you. And, so anyway, I think he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Well, speaking of your early days at Nebraska, let's kind of go there. You decide to go to Nebraska, obviously, and you redshirt the season they win a national championship that they split with Michigan. I mean, what was the decision process behind going to Nebraska? Obviously, they were a power at the time. Was it pretty clear to you you were going to choose them, or was there any sort of more decision process there?
You know, that's a great question. I've told this story a couple times, and it's kind of an interesting one because, I mean, the background, yes, I am from Nebraska, you know, but I am the first born generation of my family in Nebraska. And they were Nebraska fans too. You know, they came here from out of state, you know, Air Force Base, brought them here to Nebraska. And so, you know, I grew up with family members that were Nebraska fans, but it wasn't like for me personally, like growing up, I didn't really watch Nebraska play a lot because my youth football games were on Saturday at noon. So like all these games, but what my memories are of how, you know, avid the fans and I've had the coaches, youth football, that had the headphones in, you know, they were listening to the game and it was like, do we call a timeout or what? I mean, call the play, coach, and he's over here. He's listened to the Nebraska game, you know? And so, you know, that was kind of my experience. And then as I got a little bit older, you know, I got to high school, I started realizing like, man, Nebraska is like legit. Like they're like they're the best in the country. They're you know? And so I started to really kind of learn more about the program. I mean, don't get me wrong. I watched some games, you know, I watched, you know, Steve Taylor play and, you know, some of the, you know, Mickey Joseph, and I watched some of these other quarterbacks play, Jerry Godowski, like, you know, before I really got in, Tommy Frazier, and, you know, Brooke Behringer, I watched these guys and I'm like, man, this is, and then you start to learn about Tom Osborne and his, you know, history and just the program in general. And then you get that first letter, that red envelope with the white, I mean, it was a red envelope with the white end. I got them stashed away. They send me a letter every week. So actually when I got down to it, I decided that I was going to look at a couple, you know, three schools. I was going to look at Notre Dame, Nebraska, and Ohio State. And so I took my visit to, Ohio State, and, I kind of surprised myself. I ran like a 4.33 40, and they made me go back and run it again, 'cause they thought they screwed up the time. And I ran the same exact time again. And I remember, it was Dave Kennedy, their strength coach, who actually made it back to Nebraska to be a strength coach at one time. And you know, at that point, I don't think they were looking at me as a quarterback anymore. I think they were looking at me as a DB or wide receiver.
You should have slowed down.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking, dang, if I just would have like put on my high tops that day and ran my 40, you know, but they actually offered me a scholarship. So, you know, at the time they didn't really offer scholarships, and I came there in the summer at their summer camp, and they just, so I was kind of like, from what I've understood, their first player that they offered a scholarship after like the summer camp. Usually the coach John Cooper didn't do that. And that was the coach at the time at Ohio State. Then I went to Notre Dame and had a great camp. And this was all in the summertime. So I was just trying to make my decision before my senior season in high school. And, you know, Notre Dame, I had a really good camp, like I said, but their stadium was under construction. They never really got a chance to lead me through the stadium or see anything like that. So I saw some dorm rooms, met a couple of the coaches, and they always wanted me as like, okay, we're going to recruit you as kind of like that athlete. They gave you that, like this athlete mark, right? You're not like, hey, okay, that means I could end up anywhere. Like, went to Nebraska, and you know, I had that conversation with them early on, and they said, no, we want you as a quarterback, period. And that's kind of when things like turned for me. I'm like, I'm going to Nebraska because Ohio State's giving me this athlete label, Notre Dame's giving me this athlete label, and Nebraska's wanting me to play quarterback. And probably sealed the deal right there. I mean, Tom Osborne came to my house and made a, you know, in-person visit, and you know, not, that was really key. The other coaches, you know, other head coaches did not do that. So I felt like that was, you know, really important and really nice. And I felt more wanted, you know? And so anyway, and then the icing on the cake of all this is that, you know, I come to Nebraska and Tom Osborne retires after my first year. John Cooper at Ohio State gets fired. And Lou Holtz retires at Notre Dame. So, you know, anywhere I would have went, I would have had a new coach. So
that's college football, I guess.
Yeah.
That much.
Yeah,
hasn't
it's
changed.
Even worse now.
Yeah. Are you at all jealous of the way recruiting works now? You know, like you kind of get to take official visits earlier. It's all over social media. There's a little bit different type of exposure. Or are you kind of in favor of the way things used to be?
Yeah. You know, I've thought about that a little bit. And I feel pretty fortunate to have done, you know, grown up in a time where social media wasn't around. And I felt like it was a little bit more, I don't know. I see the pluses and the minuses of it because, you know, if you have that platform, it could be really good. But if you don't, you know, it could probably go the other way for you. There's probably a lot of athletes out there that maybe just aren't getting the looks that they want. But
yeah.
You know, it was a day when coaches were really making a lot. I mean, these coaches were, you know, going and watching high school football games, you know, on Friday nights. And I'm sure that happens a little bit still, but not to the degree that it did, because that's how you saw a player. And now
now it's more like it's a recruiting gesture. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, the exposure, I guess, is it's kind of a feel good thing. I mean, if you're going to these schools and they're showing, you know, you're taking your pictures in their uniforms and you got their helmets on. And I don't even know how much of that is real, but it seems like, you know, they do a really good job of it. And you're kind of like, wow, that's pretty cool. So like today I could see it's just changed. I mean, I was watching an old game of myself and it was like, gosh, you could kind of like, wasn't in high def, and I'm thinking, man, this is kind of boring, man. Like this is like garbage film right here, but that's what we had, you know. So the images have changed a lot.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And Eric, you get there to Nebraska, and yeah, obviously you mentioned you redshirt your freshman year, and was that did you injure your ankle, correct?
Yeah, so I came in my freshman year. I was a little bit beat up from running track the spring before I got to Nebraska. I had like a nerve problem in one of my knees. And then I ended up having an ankle issue. So I got to Nebraska right away. They told me I was redshirting, and I had a left knee surgery and a right ankle surgery. So I was like, you know, pretty laid up for a few months. Nothing major. It was like I don't know what kind of condition it was, but it was a blood vessel was constricting a nerve. So like from my knee down, my leg would go numb on me. And so basically they just went in, it was like an explorative surgery. They pretty much debrided around the nerve, and I was fine ever since. I got a nice little scar to show from that. But yeah, and then the ankle was just an ankle scope. Yeah. Oh yeah. 16 of them. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Are those injuries or surgeries?
Surgeries.
Yeah, I think I'm at
Hopefully you're not close to that, are you?
No, I'm at like four.
Oh, four, shoot. Yeah. You got a long way to go, man.
That's respectable. Yeah. You know, it's not too many, yeah. But it's not too little.
Hey, you're doing pretty good. I think I had maybe five by the time I left Lincoln.
Oh, gosh.
So you beat me.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Something to feel good about.
Yeah.
You guys are having 20 combined ankle surgeries, and I'm over here just no major injuries at all.
You know, that's be thankful.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
that's something that, I mean, I think we've touched on it before, but is, I think, a little underrated is the injury aspect in college football. I don't think the average viewer or the normal football fan realizes just the physical toll, you know, amateur athletes and obviously professional, but the rehab, the surgeries, the, you know, constant grind that it truly is, you know, for everyone, you know?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've injured myself in many of practices too. I mean, it's not just games. It's, you know, all the practice. You got 4 or 5 times as much practice as you have the games, and you know, the games are, you know, a little bit different, but because it's live, they're really coming at you. But you know, in practice, you kind of wear yourself down. You gotta be professional. You gotta understand your body, and you know, and when you have these surgeries, you have to understand, you know, how to get back relatively quick, but not too quick, you know, so that you're not going to hurt yourself again.
Mm. I guess, Eric, that's a good lead in to obviously seeing some of these highlights of these defenses that just dominated in the 90s. Going with them practice every day, was it as brutal as it looks on film, how physical it was, just practicing every day with that team?
You know, we were a physical team at practice. We hit a lot. We were in pads. We were in pads Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we were hitting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so, you know, and there's quite a bit of live work. You know, we had like a couple of live sessions each one of those days. And, you know, that's just kind of the mentality that we had. And it showed, I think, on Saturdays, the way that we played. It was just a different physical game. You know, we were running the football and we were running option and we were coming at people in a physical way. And they kind of knew that. And that was us. You know, we weren't a great team at coming from behind because we, you know, we were going to chew the clock up and things like that. But it was every bit of physical as it was. I tell people a lot that the practices were a lot harder than the games. The games were fun, you know, the games were, you know, enjoyable and, you know, you're riding on emotion and that's what it should be.
Yeah. That's probably how the best teams do it. You know, you're practicing hard enough and it's that fire, it's competition. So the game day is easier. And you guys had enough talent and discipline to kind of get that out of each other, I'm sure.
If you can set the bar high, you know, at practice and hold people accountable to kind of push themselves during the week. Because I think a lot of it was just, you know, we as humans just have something in our mind, like we think we're only capable of some certain limit. Mm. You know, we just feel like, I think I could probably only do this. But then you start pushing yourself a little bit harder. You know, maybe your teammates are pushing you past your limits and you finally realize like, wow, I didn't realize I could do that. You know, and you watch yourself on film and it's just, you know, a way to get better each day and you have great coaches and all that stuff kind of ties together and equals success. And I was real fortunate, you know, to be at a program like Nebraska at a time like that and where they were, you know, like I said, that I was riding off that 90s Nebraska and that's a decade of Nebraska football that will never be touched.
And Eric, you get there in the midst of that and you come in your first year, 1998. Was there any kind of a rude awakening going out there as a young guy with a team coming off a national title?
Yeah, I mean, it's just fun to be around that. You know, I mean, you just see how much fun. Like, I just remember the guys having fun. I mean, it was weird. It wasn't like it was like a serious business deal. You know, it was like, hey, you know, we love to play this game and we're going to play it at the highest level possible. And, oh, by the way, we're going to kick your butt too, you know, like, and they did it, you know. And like I said, a lot of that has to do with culture and mentality and confidence and the mindset of, you know, just not be willing to lose. I mean, not be okay with losing, or, you know, and nobody really is, but it's just like, there's something different when you can put it all together, you know, the whole team aspect, like, you know, all three phases of the game. You know, you try to squash some of the, you know, cancers in the locker room, and you try to do a great job of, you know, of bringing people, uniting your team and your coaches, as a leader, as a quarterback. You know, those types of things are the tough parts that people don't see too. Like, as a quarterback, mm-hmm. like, I mean, and Adrian can talk to this too. It's just, you know, you're up there on the pecking order, you know, I mean, and you're responsible for, you know, how this team reacts in certain situations. And, you know, I guess that's one thing that I always respected out of Adrian was like his toughness, you know, and his ability to go out there and just play the game as hard as he could and take shots. And I think that's what people respect. Like, your teammates look at that and they're like, this guy's not giving up, you know, like, let's go. And so leading by example is huge, but also one thing that I kind of left on the table and I wish that I was better at was just being more verbal, you know, with my team. You know, I was young, but I'm pretty reserved anyway. Like, that's just my personality. So, you know, I kind of wish that, you know, if I could go back and kind of relive my career at Nebraska, I think one thing that I would do, and this is a piece of advice to you too, Adrian, is that, you know, don't be afraid to stand up in front of your team and say what's on your mind. You know, it's like, whether they want to hear it or not, they need to hear it, you know, and that's just so important for a team, because I think it builds a lot of respect, because people know, you know, what ground you stand on. And I just wish that I could have done that, or would have done that more. You know, I probably, the handful of times that I did it, wish I would have done it at every single practice, like on a Friday, you know, like just, hey, I need to address the team. How are we feeling this week? What's going on? You know, I was probably better at having my one-on-ones or my group talks with people, but I was never really great at addressing the team. That's one thing I wish I would have done better. So I'm sure you know that. And yeah. It's just, I think it's an important piece.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's an incredibly high compliment coming from you. So I do appreciate that. And, you know, you and I share that responsibility. I think we both know what that's like, you know, and it's something I definitely cherish in my time in Nebraska, and I'm currently in the process of, I believe it needs to be earned. So earning that role here at Kansas State. So, yeah. And it's hard to beat those moments, you know, talking in front of the team, you know, whether it's practice or a summer workout or whatever it is, but it's almost like you can't get enough of those, and probably the ones I'm going to miss the most. So,
yeah, absolutely. Oh, you'll be fine. I got no doubt.
And Eric, was that tough? I mean, you said you want to be more vocal. Was there specific moments you look back on and say, I wish I was more vocal there, in terms of, and what were those moments, if you can be specific?
To be honest, there's two of them. And, you know, it was right at the end of my career. We lost to Colorado and we lost to Miami. I wish that I wish I would have been a little bit more vocal during like the game or halftime or before, leading up to the game. And I guess I was pretty standard and businesslike. Like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to take care of business. Like, I'm going to do my job. And, you know, that wasn't probably the right approach. I probably needed to kind of, like I said, you know, I use that word unite, and I probably could have done a better job of uniting our team in those tough situations. Maybe there was some other opportunities to do that too. You know, you kind of look back, I look back at the losses more than anything out of my career, and I kind of like wonder how we could have won those games still, or what we should have done differently. And, you know, but there are a lot of great times too that, you know, that I did things that, like I said, you know, didn't think I was going to be able to do or wasn't capable of doing. And And a lot of that comes from just being pushed by coaches and teammates and things like that.
And was about being more vocal, was that something you didn't realize until years after you stopped playing, or when did you realize that?
Well, I think, you know, looking back and just going through the years, I think we all have seen when Tim Tebow gave that speech to his team, you know, and he probably did that a lot, but, you know, it just gives you the chills, you know, when you hear, you know, somebody that emotional and how that can affect the players around you, your team in that situation. A lot of that is just how you respond to adversity. You know, every game, you know, you know, it's coming, you know? So it's like, how are you going to respond to it? It's going to happen every game. So better get used to it, and you better learn how to get by it and respond in a great way and get back on track. Otherwise, you know, the wheels start falling off and you can't recover. So, you know, it really was just a matter of, like, I don't know, just being able to, you know, say the right things. Or, like I said, when he said that, it just made me think, like, man, that was awesome. Like, I wish I would have came up with that, man. I was like, dang, man, that was sweet. Like, I just, you know, I got a lot of respect for that. And there were probably times where, I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm kind of like, I'd have to snap, you know, mentally to get there. But, you know, it just has a big impact on your team, and it can affect the game in a big way. Cause this is like, college football is emotion, man. I mean, you know, when you're riding it, so that's how it is.
It's a fine line too. And in my opinion, you know, because the quarterback has to be the even keel at the same time, you know, but there also needs to be moments where you get into your O-line's ass, or you're this or that. It's all about reading it, and that's definitely not easy. But
yeah, no, necessary. You got to feel it. You got to feel that too. Yeah. Or if you see something, and I don't know. I mean, a lot of that stuff can be worked on in practice too. You kind of like, okay, let's just go. But you know, and everything's under review now. You know, like, there's camera angles from every which way, and so, you know, back when I was playing there, you know, there might've been a few cameras. Now it's like 15 cameras at a game. You know, you're catching everything, you know, quarterbacks over there, you know, having a, you know, getting chewed out by his coach, you know, behind on the bench, you know, there's somewhere they're going to find it, you know, but, so it is a little different in that regard, but I agree with what you're saying, Adrian. I think, you know, if your head's popped off, then, you know, your teammate go, geez, he just lost it. Well, we're screwed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So I get it.
Speaking of that Miami game, how good was that Miami team? Probably one of the teams that go down in history is one of the most talented teams, right?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. They had just player after player after player at every position, and they were highly talented, a lot of speed, a lot of size. A lot of those guys were drafted in the first three rounds, or, you know, Hall of Famers. You know, so I give credit to where credit's due. We didn't deserve to win that football game. They beat us. You know, I could come up with a million excuses of why we didn't do it, but I wish we could have made it a little bit more respectable. You've got to protect the football. That's important. But, you know, they were well coached, and they made big plays and played good defense. And, you know, it's just, that was the best team I'd faced in my career. So them and Oklahoma that year were the best teams that I played against. Hmm. Probably Kansas State too, back in 98. And I was that team was pretty darn good.
I learned a little bit about that.
Just don't watch the face mask. Don't watch that.
I've seen that picture. I don't want to watch the video. Completely turned around. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Now, Eric, leading up to that national championship game, obviously losing to Colorado final week of the season, and you guys still be elected to be in that BCS national championship game. First ever BCS, by the way. Can you take me through the moment you guys learned you were going there? Because I would imagine, while you guys still felt you deserved to go, it was still probably a little bit of a shock.
Oh, it was. I mean, it was Heisman weekend. when that happens. So no, I'm in New York, right? And I'm thinking, well, we had that loss and we're sitting at like 4 or 5 somewhere in there in the ranking. And so like, I wasn't even thinking like we could play in the national title game. And then it started to like, there was a, you know, a reporter that came out with like, hey, if so and this team loses and then this team loses and then that team beats that team and that team loses. And it was this big spider web of what ifs. And it happened. Like all that stuff happened. And so they like announced it the very next morning while I was still in New York. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're playing. We better put our heads on straight here. We just lost a football game, you know, and we better get back on track. And, you know, it's exciting, you know, just to be there and be around that and, you know, have that opportunity to compete for a national title. I guess, you know, not everybody has that opportunity to even be in a national title game. So I look back on it after it's said and done. And I said, wow, you know, just pretty surreal senior season with all the accolades. And, you know, we still were 11-2, which is a great year, finishing the top 10, which is a great accomplishment. Yeah, we fell short on the natty, but, you know, it was still a great experience.
Mm. Now, I guess that brings up the question then, do you prefer the BCS playoff system or do you like this college football playoff thing?
I like the playoff. And I like the playoff because I'm thinking about this. And the only reason I can say that is because if there was a playoff, I would have had a national title in 1999. I can guarantee you that. Well, I can't guarantee it, but we would have been really hard to beat. We were riding pretty good. And we probably wouldn't, in my senior year, we wouldn't have been in it, right? So, or would have been close. So I don't know. That's the reason I say it, but I like the playoff game because, you know, you've got teams that are playing their best when it comes to the national title game and that's what everybody wants. So I'm glad they got to that. I'm probably going to be happy when it expands too.
Mm, yeah.
If and when.
I think it's inevitable, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just with the given landscape. If
they can do it in division two, you know, they should be able to do it any division.
You would think, yeah. I don't know who the guy is behind the scheduling and, you know, team that's going to play 17 games or whatever, you know, I don't know. We'll leave it to them.
Yeah, exactly.
But how was, you talked a little bit about that weekend in New York, the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. I think that's every kid's dream coming into college. So what was that like? You know, it's... Yeah. Special moment, special award, and something you'll never forget.
You know, each year that goes by, it's it just seems more and more surreal. Like, how did that happen? You know, how did my body make it to that level? Like, how could I do something like that? And then I always come back to, it really wasn't me. You know, I mean, and I've said this a lot. You know, I've had start off with a tremendous family, and you know, great opportunity to be around some incredible football coaches in my time. And, you know, Fred Petito, you know, starts back with my youth football coach. I mean, just get me excited about football and teaching me, you know, how to have quick feet and move and be an athlete. And then you go to high school and have another great coach, go to Nebraska, have, you know, Turner Gill and Tom Osborne and Frank Solich and that whole staff. Like, you know, there's just, you know, I was in the right, you know, God had a great plan and it worked out for me in terms of my football career and, you know, my life. You know, I you know, it's been blessed a lot of ways. So I'm very, very fortunate for that. But, you know, back to the Heisman, I didn't think that, you know, that was going to ever be me. You know, I just didn't, it wasn't my goal. I was like, man, let's just win some football games, have some fun and compete hard. And, you know, let's try to hurt, you know, I came from the back. I came back and that was my, my motto was, if I hurt them first, then I'm doing pretty good. So, but now it's kind of different because I've like had these conversations with my son Carson about hurting, you know, hey, man, let's just go in there. And, you know, that's not how you play the game. You don't hurt people. Like, you know, like, dude, no, you got to be physical, man. That's the way this goes. So a little different mentality, but I certainly understand it because, like I said, after 16 of those surgeries, but. Yeah. No, the Heisman was a good thing, man. It's great. I've met some sweet guys and had a lot of fun. And I really enjoy going back to New York City every year and just, you know, camaraderie between the guys and, you know, sitting in those meetings. And I watched a lot of those guys play college and pro football, and they're my idols, you know, like Barry Sanders. I watched Barry Sanders. Like, I wanted to be Barry Sanders and run like that guy. I've never could, but I wanted to. And then someday I'm in the same club. I'm signing autographs with him. We're in the same meetings. We're, you know, shaking hands and taking pictures. It's just, you know, things like that. It's just crazy. And
you're in that company.
You know, I'm in that group. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't live my life daily thinking about that. But it is a huge honor to be associated with that group of guys and that prestigious award, the Heisman Trophy.
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. So moving from there onto the next phase, the NFL, did you think you were going to play quarterback at the next level, or was that never really part of your process?
You know, I just had this belief inside that I knew that I could do it. I knew that I could do it. And I don't know that there was anybody out there that believed I could. There might have been a couple teams, you know, coming out of school, but a lot of them were, you know, moving me, receiver, safety, some even talked running back. And, you know, that was kind of me my whole life. Like I was always wanting to be a quarterback. Like that was kind of what I saw myself as. And I think going through what I learned is that everywhere that I went professionally, they were all surprised that I could actually throw the football. And it's because we just didn't, we didn't do it in Millard North. We really didn't do it in Nebraska either. And so I didn't have that opportunity. And I think where I would have succeeded most would have been going to the CFL right away. You know, because I learned a lot about just space and coverages and, you know, where to go with the football. And that league taught me how to be all around quarterback. That league taught me that. And, I never got that type of coaching, you know, anywhere I was, cause I wasn't throwing it enough. But when you go to Canada, you know, three downs, you're throwing it.
Yeah. And, you're slinging the rock.
Yeah. You're slinging that thing, and you better be able to throw it far too. Cause it's like a 5-yard out route. It's like a 55-yard throw. So, you know, you better get it together. But no, I mean, that's kind of what it was. And then I had a up and down professional career in terms of where I was at and being injured and just the timing was off for me. And again, that wasn't my plan, but, I met a lot of great people along the way.
Yeah. I mean, Eric, I'm curious about your CFL journey, because obviously two different countries, two different cultures with that. What was the biggest like cultural difference you found within playing football in Nebraska and America here, and then go up to Canada and play there? What were the biggest differences?
I mean, football's football. And, you know, I had with the rule changes were not a big deal. You know, the motion from the backfield towards the line, you know, 12 guys and 11, you picked up that stuff really quick. I mean, that wasn't the problem at all. There wasn't, you know, football was football. I think a lot of it just had to do with, you know, you're in a culturally diverse city. Toronto's pretty diverse. You know, I lived on Yonge Street, which is their main street in Toronto there, with an Italian family for a year. Got to know them. It was just really cool to be around, you know, some of that you don't get to experience being here in Nebraska. You know, so, you know, that was cool. I met a lot of people that became friends and still friends today. And, you know, from Canada, you know, they're pretty kind people and they love football and they work hard. I mean, you know, one of the things that was a little bit different that I was used to is that football wasn't life. You know, like football wasn't life. And so it's like, once I understood kind of like the rules behind the CFL, they gave you 4.5 hours a day. You had to get everything in 4.5 hours. Now we're talking like in season, right? Because other guys would have jobs. They would go, I'm going to go practice and I'm going to do my 4 hours here with you guys. And then I'm going to go be a, you know, a real estate agent, or I'm going to go be a accountant, or I'm going to, you know, own my own business or do whatever. So you know, you had some time on your hands, and it was strict too. It was like, hey, for if you were like, you'd have a player's rep in your room, and he'd be like, dude, right, let's go. 4.5, we're done. I'll write this up. Don't let me write you up now. So, and then we'd go golf, we'd go work out, you know, we'd go see the city. It was just, you know, you start like, you know, not, you enjoy life. I mean, you know, the league is a little, NFL is a little different. You know, you're spending a lot of time there, and you're making a lot more money, but, you know, the demands are a little bit higher. And so, but I enjoyed it. Like, I kind of wish, like, if I were to go back and do this again, I wish that, you know, Adrian, you commented on, hey, it was like every kid's dream to win the Heisman. For me, it was being in the NFL, like being a quarterback in the NFL. So, like, I knew I could get drafted in the NFL. Why would I just say no to that and go to the CFL? You know, I mean, that would have been,
yeah,
that would have been tough, you know.
Hard decision to make, yeah. I don't know many people would do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to pass up that opportunity when you get drafted in the NFL, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and once you're in, you're kind of in. And, like, for me, you know, I guess there was just receiver wasn't my thing. I just did not enjoy it and, you know, and kind of went from there. But, you know, I think with my son Carson, I kind of come back to that and him playing receiver. I'm like, hey, man, yeah, there you go. There you go, receiver. So,
yeah,
the light bulb kind of goes off a little bit. Oh, yeah, yeah.
CFL sounds like it was a great experience, though. It sounds like it was fun.
I mean, I'd recommend it. I would recommend it for anybody that's kind of on that, I mean, right on that edge of deciding or having the opportunity to play in the NFL versus the CFL. A lot of guys fall back on the CFL, and it doesn't really necessarily have to be like that. Because I think that I would have been, you know, based on where I was at in my career, I probably could have gone in to the CFL, made some really good money, signed a really good contract and started right away, you know, or had the opportunity to start somewhere in the CFL versus like, well, now I'm just kind of like, now I'm getting thrown in there. So.
Yeah. And Eric, I mean, obviously injuries played a part in you bouncing around a little bit. Do you think you played in the wrong era of football? In terms of having success after college, in terms of your play style compared to today's game?
I mean, without a doubt, a dual threat quarterback is just seen differently in today's game.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, though, when I got my senior year, we got into shotgun. Oh, that was different. That was fun. That was fun. I was like, man, it got me about 4 more yards away from these big dudes. I'm doing all right back here. I think I would have, to be honest, to answer your question, yeah, yeah. I think, you know, at that time, not really comparing myself to Michael Vick, but he was like right ahead of me in the NFL. Like, you know, he got drafted in, I think, 2001. And he came out early, like sophomore, junior year. And, you know, he was like the dual threat quarterback. And it was kind of like, well, is this guy going to make it in the NFL? You know?
Yeah, there was a lot of skepticism. Yeah.
And so... But 10 years later or more, you know, I think it just takes time. You know, you got some of that older generation of coaches that filter out and some of those college coaches kind of filter in. And, you know, a lot of, I can't say this for sure, but I can imagine like in the next 10 years, maybe the whole NFL is running some type of a, you know, spread offense of some sort with a power game. And that's the game of football. And it's happening everywhere, you know, using the field more.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't see too much of that Nebraska style option anymore. You know,
no, we don't. You know, you got to get a little taste of like the Army Navy game or you know Air Force or I think Georgia Tech still running it a little bit. Yeah, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Got to find those little pockets that are still around.
Yeah. I don't know if Georgia Tech's still running it. I think they might have got a new regime in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, it's hard, man. You got to put a lot of time in with that, with coming under center and running that. Ooh, that's a lot of work.
It's hard to recruit too, as well. You know, now more and more because, like you said, everyone wants to get to the NFL, and I think it's a hard sell for everyone.
Yeah,
you know, in this last year at Nebraska, we ran a little bit of the option, and You know, we put a lot of time into, you know, the amount that we did run. Now, if that was our whole offense, I mean, that's a different deal. It's, I mean, yeah. I could do it right now. Just I could no look pitch this way to a target in here in my kitchen, you know, like just how many reps we got of it. So,
yeah,
it is definitely one of those things you have to hammer away. It's not easy to do.
Yeah, it's time consuming. That's for sure. And you take some shots too. I remember one of my very first starts at Nebraska. I was running option, and that was back when you could put the crown of your helmet like anywhere on a QB.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, I thought I broke my jaw. This guy came in 110 miles an hour. He put the crown of his helmet right on my chin. Ever since that day, I didn't have a padded chin guard, but ever since that day, I went to a padded chin guard. I wasn't playing around anymore.
I bet you couldn't. Yeah, I know.
Hey, I can't talk about broken jaws, though.
I was going to say,
I can't even talk about broken jaws, though.
I was about to say, I actually broke my jaw on a QB draw, but that's funny. Yeah, I'll remember my like welcome to college football moment. Freshman year, Colorado. I don't know. I think I scrambled off to the left, and I'm kind of like getting cute, dancing a little bit, and the Mike linebacker comes and tracked me down, smacked me, and just lifts me off my feet. Lands full force into the ground, and I'm like, oh, that's – all right. That's why you don't see everyone sticking around all the time. Yeah. It's a little too loose. But
Hey, we got something in common there. I remember Josh Sykes. I remember his name from Colorado, Mike linebacker there. I was doing a spin move. Don't do spin moves. You lose track of everything, and then you turn around and you get lit up.
Yeah, there's a guy waiting for you from the inside. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
every time.
Probably the hardest I've been hit right there. That hurts so bad.
I'm sure we could swap stories about getting hit hard
for a while. I know. It's a lot happens in 4 years, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's some that among other things. If you could point to a couple things are, you know, hitting back to Nebraska are some of the biggest, I don't want to say burden, let's just say burdens of being a Nebraska quarterback, because I think it's a pretty unique position that not a lot of people understand, just the responsibilities that come with it and sort of what that environment's like. And I mean, it was the same when you played, the same when I played, you know, except there was a lot more success. So I bet it was a little bit more fun, but,
winning does kind of cure some things, but to answer your question, a lot of it was all eyes on you type of thing, you know, like every day after practice, you're being asked for, you know, interviews and, you know, you just have a lot of responsibility. You know, you have to watch a lot of film. You had to not only be in meetings early, but you had to be there late. And, you know, if receivers wanted to get a little extra work, well, they ask you to throw, you know, for them. And if you wanted extra work, you know, you got to get those backs and receivers out there. And so it's just, you know, I don't think people understand the commitment, you know, just overall time commitment to this and how intense the, you know, the mental part of it is. I mean, gosh, I don't know about you, but, you know, I go back and I don't think I slept one wink my freshman year the night before a game. And maybe you're a guy that could just sleep, but man, I'll tell you what. Not me. Yeah, I was up all night just running from my bed to the bathroom peeing. I'd be so nervous about the game. I'd be in my bed and then in the bathroom thinking, gosh, am I ever going to get to sleep? Like, what is going on with my body right now? This ain't normal.
No, I'm with you. It's some serious, excitement, and it nerves. It took to my,
sophomore year, I finally figured it out, you know, like where my body just said, okay, you know, you can do this. And then I just started sleeping at night before those games. And that was just a whole new – that was, like, I think when my confidence – kind of changed, you know, like I got this, you know. And you know, my freshman year wasn't like that at all. We were competing for a job every week and it was tough. So I guess that's a kind of like a rule of thumb. If you're sleeping at night, not, you know, taking all these restroom breaks, then you've got yourself to a good spot.
A little more relaxed.
Yeah.
And now, Eric, how tough, obviously bounced around, and how tough was the decision to call it a career with football and move on to other things?
You know, that happened kind of like during my football days, to be quite honest. I mean, I was right now I currently own a recreational equipment company that that, you know, I purchased back when I was 24 years old. So, you know, I was still playing football and, you know, making moves, going to CFL, NFL Europe, you know, all these things. And I had this business on the side. I didn't, you know, that's a whole nother story. But 18 years now, I've got this business, and, you know, it's kind of a fun business to be in, and, you know, I enjoy it, and it's something that, you know, you don't know where life's going to take you, but on the business side, you know, it certainly has taught me a lot about life and, you know, people and business, and there's another world out there, like you said, the transition, you know, from football to other parts of life, like, you know, it's not something that's going to last forever. You can't play football your entire life. And most don't play after college. Actually, most don't play after high school, right? So,
yeah.
Like, just to have the opportunity to have this career and to experience the things that we are and have experienced up to this point. And I learned a lot from football and sports. I mean, I've carried, like, this is something that I hope it happens. Like, you'll carry over so many things from the game of football. That what you're learning right now in your life, to just in life in general, like everyday interactions with people, business world, like whatever you do career wise. You know, I see a lot, I'm always like comparing things to like the football field. Oh, when I was in the huddle, you know, kind of a, you know, we called the play. It's kind of like this, you know, we're doing a proposal. We're going to call the play. Then we're going to take it in there. We're going to, you know, like there's these, you know, you start talking football language and kind of never goes away. In business terms, but no, I mean, I'm pretty fortunate.
Mm. Yeah, there are definitely, I mean, you hear it all the time, but the parallels between life and football and sports in general. I've heard about your business, and it's pretty awesome you're able to find that while you're also in the midst of your football journey. So you kind of hit the ground running. Is that a bit of a transition though for you? You know, I don't know what you got your degree in. I don't know if you had a background in business, but how did you, I guess this is a question for me because I'm a business major getting my MBA right now. How did you make that transition so quickly? And obviously you used football a little bit in some of the lessons there.
Yeah. Shoot. It's kind of like my freshman year. They just threw me in there, you know, and with the business, you just got thrown in the fire and, you know, you got to learn. And I think that's the best way to do it. Just go do it. And sometimes you have coaches that can kind of coach you along and sometimes you don't. And, you know, in business, it can be a grueling career because there's a lot of competition out there. And depending on what you want to do, you know, that's not going to stop. So being good on how you handle competition at the you know, college level and the things that you do will again translate over in how you handle competition in the business world. But, you know, I guess the transition for me was a little bit quick, you know, like it was like, man, graduate college and own a business, you know, like, wow,
before you know it, you're there.
What just happened, you know? You know, good people owned the company before me and I got, you know, referred to by a friend of mine at the time who's, you know, passed away now, but he, you know, put me in touch with this family that was selling their business and great business, connection to Nebraska, football a little bit too. And, so that was kind of cool. There's the guy that I bought this from, his brother was Bob Churchich in Nebraska. And so he was a quarterback in the late '60s, which is kind of like pretty cool. Yeah. And so it's like, hey, man, I'm doing some of this stuff, you know, it's like what former quarterbacks do at Nebraska, you know, getting a recreational equipment business or something. So, but, you know, it's been fun. And really the transition was easy. I've really enjoyed what I do. We traveled to a lot of small towns in South Dakota, Nebraska, and, you know, we help them build their communities, playgrounds, splash pads, you know, scoreboards, bleachers, things like that. And what's been cool is just to go out and meet people where they like, they always had to come to me in Memorial Stadium. Now I get to go out to them and see where they live and meet, you know, their community and their people. And, you know, it's been awesome for me because being from Omaha, I don't, you know, until I started traveling with this business, I didn't really know exactly what all the state of Nebraska looked like or how people lived. And so for me, it was just really cool to get to know people from, you know, Scotts Bluff, or people from, you know, Gothenburg or McCook, or, you know, just other parts of Nebraska, Valentine, you know, all these small towns. I mean, they all have a school, they all have a city park. So, you know, each one of these towns could be a potential customer for us. And it's been an enjoyable business. I will say that.
Absolutely. It sounds rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Eric, one of the final few questions I have for you, I'm curious, you mentioned a little bit back, that obviously being a Heisman Trophy winner, you get to go back to New York every year and see those guys. Now, I'm just curious, what's been that kind of generational divide with, kind of the newer Heisman Trophy winners, and them coming back as well.
Hey, Eric's not that old. Come on. Let's give him a break here. You know,
that's funny though. You start talking about generations. I was looking that up. Weirdly enough, I was looking up, and I should know what it means, but I kind of know what it meant. But I'm like, what does a generation mean? A generation, you know, like how much time? And it said 20 to 25 years. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the biggest difference really is that there's quite a few of them still in the NFL. I can say that. I mean, if you go back on the list of Heisman Trophy winners, there's quite a few that are still in the NFL. You know, and those guys, they're busy with their, you know, football careers, and hopefully someday they'll make it back to New York City and enjoy the fruits of their labors for all those years. But, you know, there's been, you know, guys that have passed away since I've been, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner, and you get to know these guys and their families, and you know, it's pretty emotional. It's because you do start to develop relationships with people, and, you know, and I do really enjoy, you know, because you have this in common with them, you know, hey, you went through this, you know, this award carries a lot of, you know, weight in a way, and people recognize you for this one thing a lot of the times. So we all kind of have this in common, and we have a lot of respect for one another. And it's almost like we're brothers, you know, like truly family members. And, you know, last few years have kind of separated a lot of things for us because of, you know, live events or being together in the same place and just traveling, and the pandemic's kind of put a strain on that. But I know there's a lot of us that are already chomping at the bit to go do events. Like, I'm getting ready to fly down to South Carolina to go to George Rogers' golf event in June. I'll be down in Houston for Mike Rozier's golf event. That's a great way for us to all get together and have some fun, is play golf. So if you don't play golf, that's one thing you can do, man, is play some golf so you can do these things later in your life. But
yeah. Oh, I'm there. I'm terrible.
Oh, you're there?
You can ask Jeff.
You're terrible? You know, like, come on. QBs can't be terrible at golf, man.
I'm being honest. Like, I've played with golfers, like golfers at Nebraska who are good, you know, relatively. And
Yeah.
You know, I'm respectable with the guys, but if you put me out there in some serious competition, I'm not Tony Romo. I'm not almost a pro.
Yeah. So what's your strong point in your golf game?
It depends a day, you know, right?
Yeah.
It's best days, the driver's on point. The bad ones, I'm saying, hey, my putter's doing great. But
well, we'll have to get together here and play some golf then. That's kind of, I'd like to see that in action.
Absolutely. I'll make sure I get a couple practice rounds in before happens.
One last thing before we go. This is usually Adrian's question, so I'm going to let him ask it. And I think, Adrian, you know what question.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this one's out of left field. But what did you think about Will Smith smacking Chris Rock last night? Did you see that?
Yeah, well, so, I mean,
or maybe on Twitter or something like that.
I didn't see it live, but I saw it this morning because I, like, crash early, but wake up, crash early, wake up early type of thing.
Yeah.
I at first I'm like, man, these guys are just, this is an act. This got to be an act.
Right? You thought so. You still think it's an act?
He's crying up there. I'm like, man, this guy, and I'm like, but he's an actor. Like, he's a really, really good actor.
He won best actor. He won the award for the best actor that year.
He won the award, so he had to do this. Like, he had to go up there and he's sobbing and he said these things and he really hit him. And I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off base.
Yeah. I mean, he was screaming at the guy afterward. It was a weird dynamic. If you've seen the video,
I didn't see it on there, but so my wife saw it. She's like, man, I think that was pretty real. I don't think that was planned. So he whapped him pretty good though. He whapped him pretty good.
Yeah. Straight arm, straight hand. Yeah.
I thought he could have, I mean, he might've knocked him out though. That would have been weird because like, if he could have hit him right in the spot where you get knocked out,
how can you that would have been hilarious if that happened. I didn't even think about that.
I know, like, he just hit him in that spot and he's like laying there, he's like, uh-oh, what do I do now? I mean, we're live,
takes over.
yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like he had a little history, but they put something up there like back in 2016 where he said something again about like her hair or something. And I guess it just, you know, sometimes when you say something, like, you always kind of like think you're saying something and it's just like, people are going to be okay with it. Cause like, whether you're being roasted or, hey, they're saying this stuff, and it's like TV. So you think you can kind of say whatever you want. Apparently not. I mean, yeah. Apparently you can get smacked.
Good little
up.
Reminder. You never know if someone's going to take something too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Husband of the Year award right there, huh? That's how you stick up for your woman, huh? Go up there and smack somebody up.
Yeah. Some slight, you know.
Like, I did see a little disclaimer they put on there. The Oscar like organization does not condone physical
like violence or something.
Yeah,
like,
violence or something.
okay. I don't think that's had to. That's just so PC nowadays. It's hilarious. So
it is PC. That's funny.
One last football related thing before we go. Eric, again, this is usually Adrian's question as well, about the best player you have ever played against.
It's a good question. Best player I've ever played against. Well, I would say that, Mike Brown, I played with Mike Brown and against him. Cause so I was on the same team in Nebraska, but also he was on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. But I always talk about Mike Brown being like, you know, one of the best players that I've ever played with and against in a way. He was just, he didn't make mistakes. He's very physical. He rarely missed a tackle, like rarely. And like, when you think about how important tackling is in terms of like yards after contact, like he always made the tackle. It's kind of like that player right there is who you want on your football team. Somebody that's just downright dirty and tough and smart, and he leads, and you got a lot of respect for Mike Brown there at Nebraska.
Give you a few good pops in there during practice.
Oh, yeah. 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 He gave me a few good pops. That's for sure.
I had to remind you. I don't know.
Yeah. That's remind right. me who's boss.
There's a couple of those scuffs. You ever get in a fight in Nebraska? Like, not like in practice. We'll keep it, you know, nothing too personal here. Yeah. You ever pick a fight with some of the defensive guys? No.
No. No. I didn't pick fights.
Yeah. I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah. I always told them, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't really the fighter, but you know, unless I got myself putting my back against the wall, then I guess I'd have to. But
yeah, no.
How about you? You get any fights?
Yeah. Well, that's not a fight, like, you know, physically crazy. But I will say, I think freshman year, sophomore year. Yeah. Oh, I love John at the defense a little bit, you know, but it's more like in practice, trying to find little ways to kind of get guys going. So I think it was sophomore year, maybe it was freshman year. And one of the Davis twins, he kind of accidentally grabbed me and I kind of like fell to the ground and I go to sprint. Like I'm going to do something to him, you know, like, I don't know if they're 300 pounds, like can do backflips. I don't stand a chance, but I'm going in there. Like I'm going to do something. And Ben Steele grabs me, one arm is holding me back. And I have the ball in my left hand. I throw the ball at the Davis twin. Everyone's like getting in there like, hey. Yeah. Hey, but hey, we got a little juice now to practice.
There you go. Hey.
We're stalled out. Right. Yeah, you know, but that's probably the closest I've ever gotten.
Well, the coaches probably liked it. Hey, this guy's got a little something, little extra juice, like you said.
Exactly. Yeah.
We like this. We like this.
There we go.
Like I said, if I could be a little more vocal, I would have done it. That would have been one. I would have started a few more fights. I would have jawed a little bit more.
I don't know. I heard there were some crazy dudes on those teams, so I don't know. Same era.
I would have
tried anything.
You kept pretty quiet. You know, those first. You know, yeah. You just kept quiet. The quarterback knew where you stood on that defense, right?
For sure.
Well, Eric, I'm glad you didn't quiet with us here.
Thank you.
That wrap things up here on this edition of Athletes Unfiltered featuring Eric Crouch. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you had as much fun as we did.
I did. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Great time. You. Adrian, good luck this year. Watching you. Yeah. Have some fun. Don't forget about this football game. That's supposed to be fun, right?
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Go compete hard.
Thank you so much, Eric, and thank you for joining us. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ATH Unfiltered, both on Twitter and Instagram, as well as follow Adrian at Martinez the QB. And you can follow myself as well at @X_on_sports. And if you haven't caught up on all the recent episodes of Athletes Unfiltered, you can find all of those wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find them, that is where they'll be. Remember, this isn't just another press conference. This is Athletes Unfiltered. We'll talk to you soon.
A Huda Media Production.